Hello everyone, welcome to the When It Works podcast. You're with your host Julian Leahy, and I'm joined by the fantastic Shad Berry, Regina Huber and Chris Rodriguez. Welcome to the show, guests. There they
are. Hello.
Hi.
They've all told me they're absolute experts in Jeopardy and they're going to get many of these questions correct and have record scores. So the way we do it, we're going to play Jeopardy, obviously, and then afterwards we're going to have a chat to our wonderful guests and learn all about the wonderful things that they are doing. We're going to kick things off with Shad on the left. I'll just run through the categories. Actually, get the music on. So Netflix, True Crime, Soviet Union, Trivia, B-movies, which is movies that have B in the title, not necessarily B-grade. Jacks of All Trades is Famous Jacks. Double Talk is words that are repeated, kind of like what ballerinas wear, a tutu. Capiche?
Got it.
Yep.
All right, Shad, to kick things off on Super Bowl week, what would you like?
Let's go big. Let's go Double Talk for 500.
Double Talk for 500. Bear with me. British New Wave rockers from the 80s responsible for the song Girls on Film.
Oh, no idea. British New
Big
Wave
hair.
Rocker.
The lead singer was called Simon Le Bon.
Oh. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but...
You know Regina? You know the band?
I know what you're talking about, but somebody. I can't think of the name right now.
Okay, the band is called Duran Duran.
Duran Duran. Duran Duran. I said it just before it came to me.
Okay.
I think I got that.
Just missed it, but you're still in control, Shad.
Okay, good.
What would you like?
All right. Let's try B-movies for 300. I'll dial it back a little bit.
B-movies for 300. Billy Bob Thornton played a mall Santa with a penchant for booze and curse words. What movie?
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa is correct. Well done, Shad. Bounces back with 300 points. What would you like?
Let's go B-movies 400.
B-movies for 400. Sexploitation flick from 1968 starring Jane Fonda.
Oh, I was born in 78.
B-movie starting with a B.
B.
Jane Fonda. She was running around like some planet in a bikini.
No idea.
Sorry. Anyone else?
No. Somebody take it.
Barbarella.
Oh, I would have never gotten that.
Still in. I remember staying up late watching that on some random show. Shad, you're still in control. What would you like?
Okay, let's try Netflix True Crime for 300.
300. Athlete A recounts the heinous crimes of the Team USA gymnastics doctor. What was his name?
Oh my gosh.
Anybody got any idea? First name Larry.
I've never had Netflix.
Well, I know I should know this.
Larry Nassar. Horrible person in jail.
Yeah.
You're still in control, Shad. What would you like?
So can I give control to somebody else?
No. Come on.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Let's try Double Talk for 100.
Double Talk for 100. Not a Hawaiian cow, but a dress worn by Hawaiian women.
Oh, so this would be Double Talk.
No.
Also, worn by Homer Simpson when he got really, really obese.
It's the grass skirt thing.
No, it's a big kind of all-in-one, like a giant oversized T-shirt.
Like a kimono.
It's a muumuu.
A muumuu. Oh my.
All right,
we told you we were bad at this.
Yes, you did, and I didn't believe you. I should have listened. You're still in control, Shad. What would you like?
Okay, let's try Trivia for 100. Surely.
Trivia for 100. They were formerly called the Sandwich Islands. And quite related.
The Virgin Island.
Related to the last question.
Hawaii.
Hawaii is correct. Well done.
Hey, that was a big clue. Yes. That was a big clue.
I'll throw a few clues in, I think.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. You're still in control, Shad, even though you're
all right, trivia for trivia
trying to get out
200.
Of the hot seat. Trivia for 200. Try. Okay. Number of blank tiles in a Scrabble set.
Oh, my word.
Now, Regina, you don't have Netflix. You must have a Scrabble board. How many?
There's so many more interesting things to do.
I'm going to say 8.
Chris, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Any idea?
How
many blank
sir.
Tiles? 2 is the correct answer.
Oh, wow.
All right, let's move over. We don't normally do this, but we're going to switch it up a bit. Regina, you're now in control. What would you like? Netflix True Crime?
I would like...
Soviet Union Trivia, B-Movies, Jack of All Trades, or Double Talk?
The Double Talk 200.
Double Talk 200, affirmative reply to an admiral's command.
Aye, aye. Aye, aye.
That's correct. Well done, Regina.
Nailed it.
Storms to 200 points. Excellent.
Well done.
You would have got control anyway. And what would you like now?
The 300 in the same column. Double talk.
Double talk for 300. Inexplicably strong adopted baby of Barney and Betty Rubble.
Bam Bam.
Chris Rodriguez with Bam Bam is correct. The guests are alive. And they're getting questions.
Catching fire now.
I'm relieved. Chris, you're in control. What would you like?
I'll finish up the category, Julian. Double talk.
Double talk for 400. A softly spoken or almost inaudible utterance. And it's double talk. It's if you hear something very softly spoken or people are sort of gossiping in hushed tones.
Hush, hush. Hush, hush.
Wow. You know what? That's not the correct answer, but I'm going to pay that. The correct answer. Who said that? Was that Chris?
No, that was Shad.
Shad. Okay, I'm going to pay that because that is still correct. The actual one was murmur.
Oh, well, you're a generous host.
I'm a generous host. And now you're a control,
benevolent
Shad. What would you
Alex
like?
Alex Trebek. Oh, no, I didn't mean to do this to myself.
Yeah,
let's go B. Let's try B-Movies for 100.
B-Movies for 100. In 61, Audrey Hepburn's alternative to brunch in bed was?
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, yeah, there you
Regina.
Go.
Regina, well done, Regina. So what have we got? Let's have a look at the scores. We've got Shad on 700, Regina on 300, and Chris on 300. We've got a game on our hands. Fantastic.
This
Regina.
Is real money too, right?
Yeah, 100%. No, it's not. But if you do win, you can come back for the Champions Round where we will have real money, but not quite as much as they have on the real show, obviously. More in the region of $500 prize.
Then I want to see the column African dance, okay?
And Regina, what would you like? You're in control.
Oh, I am in control. All right. So Jack of all trades, 300.
300. Early 2000s rock star from the White Stripes named Jack. Had a sister on drums, but it wasn't really his sister. Her name was Meg White. I've just given you the answer in a roundabout
Jack
way.
Jack White.
Now, I think Chris snuck in there. What do you guys think?
Yeah. No, I agree.
I agree. Chris got that one. Chris, you're in control. What would you like?
Wow, very kind of you. Thank you. I'll do Jack of All Trades for 100.
Jack of All Trades for 100, legendary American actor known for his roles in The Shining and
Jack Nicholson.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson is correct. Well done, Chris on 700, Regina on 300, and Shad on 700. What would you like, Chris?
Let's keep it consistent. Jack of all trades, 200, please.
Jack of all trades, 200. Rotund actor and lead singer of Tenacious D.
Jack Black.
I think Shad got in there. What do you think, guys?
Go for it.
Just
yes,
by a hair. Just by a hair on my chinny chin chin. Jack Black is correct. Shad's in control. What would you like?
Let's keep it going with the Jack of All Trades for 400.
Jack of All Trades, they like this category. This boxing great was nicknamed the Manasseh Mauler in Jack's. boxing great, very old time boxing, maybe in the black and white era, nicknamed the Manasseh Mauler, undefeated champion, I think welterweight boxer, Jack somebody, one of the best boxers of all time. Any idea? Jack Dempsey is the answer.
Oh,
does that ring a bell?
That does ring a bell.
You're still in control, Shad.
All right, Jack of all trades, 500.
Jack of all trades for 500. Champion golfer from the 80s was seriously maimed by a plane propeller.
Jack Nicklaus?
Ooh, you're close. It is an N. Jack N.
It's the only one I know. I don't know this story.
You haven't heard the story? Anyone?
I don't think so.
Okay. The answer is Jack Newton. Shad, you're still in control. What would you like?
I think we're avoiding the Soviet Union.
Are they big
time? Let's go with
Netflix.
Let's go with B-movies for 200.
B-movies for 200, 1995 movie about a cute anthropomorphic piglet. Little baby pig running around, talking, going on an adventure, 1995. In a farm.
Babe.
Who's that? Shad?
Babe, yeah.
You got it. Well done, Shad.
All right.
200 points. What would you like?
No idea.
What the heck? Let's go Soviet Union for 100.
Soviet Union, largest Soviet newspaper of its time. Its name means truth.
And that's for 100?
Yes, they actually probably get easier. You will have heard. Oh. I think it's also there is a brand of handbag named after this starting with P. Maybe.
Let's
what was that? Well, drop it. Yeah, Prada's the handbag. Drop a V in there somewhere, and I think we've got the answer.
I don't feel good about taking that.
Pravda.
Pravda.
Wow. I won't give you that one. All right, you're still in control.
No, I don't deserve
Shad,
that.
What would you like?
Let's go back to trivia for 300.
Escaping back to trivia. Longest river in Canada, or the first name of Gareth from The Office, UK. If you haven't seen the UK Office, you'll have to rely on knowing the longest river in Canada. Any ideas? Starts with an M.
Nothing. Can I Google it?
Mackenzie. Still in control. Shad, what would you
All right.
You're going to have to...
Let's go.
Hit the Soviet.
Trivia for 400.
Trivia for 400. This chess-playing computer was the first to defeat a world champion.
That was the Mac, right? The Mac?
Well, it had a name, and it's sort of the name
Lisa?
Makes you think of the ocean. The name of the computer, I think it was an IBM computer, actually. Not sure, but it sounds like it belonged in the bottom of the ocean. Anyone got any idea? The name of that one is Deep Blue, and it beat Garry Kasparov, the world champion. First time a computer has ever beaten a chess player, world champion. Shad, what would you like?
Soviet Union for 200.
Soviet Union, daughter of this Soviet tyrant, moved to America in 1967. So, who's the most famous Soviet tyrant?
Stalin.
Chris Rodriguez is correct. Well done.
Oh.
Made some points.
Good job,
there.
Chris.
Good job. You're in control. What would you like?
I'll do Netflix True Crime for 100.
Netflix True Crime. Doco about the disappearance of Shannon Watts and her children. Can't remember. What's it called? Do you know the story about this guy, and he knocked off his family and dropped them in an oil field or something, and because he wanted to have an affair with somebody? And American Murder, The Family Next Door. Anyone seen that one?
Nope.
Okay.
Do you recommend it?
Well, I haven't actually seen that one. That's the only one on the list that I have not seen, but I do know the story. Chris, what would you like?
200, please.
200. Aaron Quinn dialed 911 to report a bizarre crime. His girlfriend was abducted by a home invader wearing a wetsuit and goggles.
I've been watching the wrong stuff.
This is a good one. You got to watch this one. You will not believe this one. American Nightmare. And the police did not believe him because the story was so bizarre. And then they ended up finding out the whole thing was true. Horrifically. Chris, what would you like?
Let's close out trivia for 500.
Trivia for 500. Awarded medal as the first woman to be killed in action in World War II. She was Gable's wife. Who was the first woman to be killed in action? World War II. You must know this if you're in the United States. I don't know. I've got no idea. I've got an excuse. I'm not in America. Carol Lombard, does that ring a bell?
Not to me. My apologies to all women everywhere. I feel like I should know that.
Maybe they don't really celebrate it because it's kind of like bad what happened to her. Who knows? All right, Chris, you're still in control. We've got about 6 questions left. What would you like?
B-movies for 500.
Surrealist 90s movie starring hundreds of John Malkoviches.
Being John Malkovich?
Is correct. Well done, Chris.
Nice.
Hope you're not Googling. Well done. You're in control. What would you like?
Soviet Union for 300.
Soviet Union for 300. Former Soviet Republic that has the same name as an American state.
Georgia.
Georgia is correct. Well done. Chris is on fire. What are we on here? Chris is on 1,700. Regina's on 300. Shad's on 1,100.
I gave up at some point.
Never surrender. Chris,
never give up.
What would you like?
Soviet Union 400.
Soviet Union 400. Sick Soviet official who advocated using gasoline-filled bottles against Nazi tanks. And now, anytime you see somebody throw a gasoline-filled bottle,
Molotov.
You call it a Molotov. Well done. That was Shad, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Your hint was a good one.
Neck and neck. We've got 1,500 versus 700 in the lead. This could go down to the wire. What would you like, Shad?
The crowd is sitting on the edge of their seat. Let's go with Soviet Union for 500.
Soviet Union for 500. What is the name given to the feared agency known for espionage and counter-surveillance in the Soviet Union?
KGB.
Was that Shad?
Yes.
Shad's on 2,000. He's taken the lead. Well done, Shad.
You were right. They got way easier compared to the 100.
Yeah, they're kind of back to front in easiness. What would you like? Netflix True Crime. Right. If you haven't seen them,
let's
go be
Netflix
hard.
400.
Pretty tough if you haven't seen them. Fast-paced, gritty docuseries dives into the drug wars of the 1980s and how cocaine transformed Miami.
Oh.
That was the Miami question.
Miami Vice.
Nope, but this one is two words. Second word is cowboys.
Cocaine cowboys.
Mm. Chris Rodriguez has just snuck ahead, leading by 100. One question.
Chris is obviously
left.
The favorite here.
As someone who doesn't watch anything in this category,
you got no choice. Netflix for 500. Netflix True Crime. Doco about a pizza man forced to wear a collar bomb.
Domino's Dynamite.
That might have been the alternative title. Nobody, has anyone heard of this story? No. Maybe I watched too much True Crime on Netflix. And the answer is Evil Genius. And it is about, they got the pizza man, they put a collar bomb and they did this elaborate plot to extract money. And it was quite an incredible story. Right, let's take a look.
I'm going to add that to my list.
Yeah, add it to your list. Okay, congratulations. Have a round of applause. Chris Rodriguez, 2,100. Regina Huber on 300. And Shad Berry. Well played, Shad, on 2,000. Great job, everybody.
Congrats, Chris.
Great guy.
Thank you.
I just know in some of them, like the KGB and Georgia.
The best part is here is that I'm horrible at trivia, so the irony is priceless here.
And this means a lot to you, Chris.
Not today.
This is going to go down as one of the greatest things that's ever happened to you. And you've also qualified for the Champions Round. I'm joking, of course. But you are qualified for the Champions Round. And what we're going to do now, we're going to change the screens up and have a chat to our guests. So don't freak out when we bring on the extreme close-up. Here we have Shad. Shad, the man with the fish. Tell us a little bit about what you have been up to. Communications, sales, training, all sorts of things.
Yeah, our thanks again for having me, and that was fun. I need to brush up on my trivia and watch more Jeopardy, apparently. But the primary work of late for me has been focused on mid-market advisory. We do advisory for mid-market business owners and privately held companies, and through the Edmondson Group, and we have a program and platform for operating mid-market companies and for training mid-market leaders and owners. So what we find is that most owners and leaders in the mid-market space tend to have about a one-year training or developmental period for a 20-year tenure, as compared to a Fortune 500 company who may have a 20-year developmental period with a 5-year tenure. So most of it's on the job training for people in that mid-market space. And so we just have felt, and that's what my background has been in the mid-market leadership, family business. So we work with a lot of family businesses, a lot of small companies that may have been purchased or acquired, or people that have gotten battlefield promotions, or their companies grew really quickly and they never led at that scale. So they really don't have experience leading at that level. So we have a next level leadership is our, what I would call our quarterback training camp, so to speak. It's where we have 10 to 15 leaders go through a very intense, in-depth leadership development program. But we're looking at everything from operational finance, how to measure the value of your business, build value, mitigate risk. Most of us don't have the P&L and the data that we're looking at doesn't really tell us how to make accurate decisions and forecasts. You know, how does the strategy we're deploying, what numerical impact does that have on our business? But then we also spend a lot of time on the emotional aspects of being a leader, because leadership can be so lonely and emotionally, relationally taxing. And a lot of us aren't equipped for that or prepared for that, don't have the resources, the awareness. So we spend a lot of time on emotional intelligence and relational integrity, trying to help our leaders be as healthy as they possibly can be for as long as they can be.
So these companies that come to you for help, what is their main motivation? Are they looking to get some sort of picture of where their business is in terms of value for possibly selling it? Or are they just kind of hitting the wall where they've grown a little bit and they've got some chaotic processes and they need to get things under control? What would you say to that?
Both. So a lot of our clients are, you know, from mid-market, a possibility is always the interest in building what we would call transferable value. You can have a business that has a lot of revenue, but may not be a value that could be purchased or transferred or even something for a future generation. So what is the health, the actual quality of the revenue? So businesses are very interested in that. Owners are very interested in that. And what are the proven processes that actually build that value? And really, it's more aligned with what a publicly held company would be looking at in terms of an actual stock price. Like, do you know what your business is actually worth and the return on the investment of money invested to fund it and operate it? But then we also have a lot of our clients are people who were the best salesperson or the best engineer or the best accountant, and they rose through the ranks of their company. And now they find themselves, you know, because there's a difference in management and leadership. They find themselves in a leadership role where they've relied heavily on their aptitude and skill set, but that doesn't necessarily translate into what it means to lead a team of 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 people. So there's a massive shift that has to happen in the way we view our work, the way we view productivity, the way we prioritize our time and energy. And so a lot of people are feeling the stress and strain of that. And then you add the overarching dynamic of the meta narrative of just our landscape is changing all the time so fast, technologically, economically, socially. We have five generations represented in the workforce today, which has never happened before. So you've got these collision of values and they're trying to navigate these things and going like, I need help. So we lean into that, our resources.
The collision of values, that's a big one that's happening at the moment. And probably for the first time in my life, I'm seeing this kind of generational gap with people. You talk about like emotional intelligence as a part of this leadership training. And I think that is the thing that people are crying out for because of these issues that the younger sort of professionals coming up have a lot more, I don't know, intuition and expectation in terms of that. Is that a part of your, what you call next level leadership? Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, thanks. A great question. So emotional intelligence is the ability, and this is probably what makes us, the most common thing about each of us as human beings, regardless of our age, is our emotional state, our ego state. And so self-awareness really becomes the cornerstone of that. And the more diverse the culture that you're leading in, the more self-aware you have to be. And that ultimately is kind of the silver bullet, if there is one. I know there's not, so that's a dramatic statement. But the ultimate way of relating is not to become more like the millennials or Gen Z or to become more like baby boomers. It's to understand the different wirings and experiences and to value those. And at a psychological level, there is a trait profile. Each one of us have traits that are measurable. So this is where we deploy our psychometrics. We describe everything we do as relationally centered. So we want to be relationally connected with the people we work with, but it's also data informed. So it's not kind of the touchy feely. There is data, hard data that we leverage to help you better understand how you are predictively most likely to behave with the most amount of energy for the longest period of time. And that's based on psychological research that goes back to the 70s and just has continually been developed and built on today. And then if I can bring that to a leadership team and we can add everyone's values framework, or what would be more appropriate is to say your intrinsic motivator. You know, all of us are drawn towards something that gives us a sense of meaning, which can be security, it could be money, it could be honor, it could be position, it could be authority. And those can get really nuanced. So that's where emotional intelligence comes in, because that's the relational aspect of when I bring my traits and my values and my experiences into a relationship, I'm either going to move that relationship toward health or dysfunction, depending on how I carry that or represent that. So we do a lot of coaching around, you know, your trait profile, you're not likely going to change. Your values framework and structure is going to be pretty embedded, but your EQ can continually be developed and strengthened. And so we do a lot of coaching on, are you getting the results and the outcomes that you desire? If not, what EQ, what are those 15 skills that comprise emotional intelligence? What of those am I responsible for? So it's a big process and it takes time. We call it a path, not a pill. You know, we all wish we could take a pill and make it all work, and that's not going to happen. But there is a process that you can engage in to be better at leading.
Helps you in all aspects of your life as well, learning mm-hmm. about your emotional intelligence. And what can people expect if they do pop over to Edmondson Group and have a look at this next level thing? Is this a call with yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to have a 15-minute, kind of 25-minute discovery call, learn more about you, your leadership. If you were to participate, there's a book as well, a free download. It was really our description of how why we think there needed to be a revolution in leadership development and how leaders are developed with not just the tools and tactics, which matter, but also with the emotional and relational development. So that call would really help us understand if this aligns with your goals, your vision, your mission for where you are in your leadership, and whether you're an owner or an executive in training. And then the program consists of it's over 12 months, but we meet virtually or in person here in Memphis for 15 sessions over the course of 12 months between sessions. And those are 3-hour sessions. It's a lot of content delivery and training. And then we do one-to-one sessions in the interim where we're doing applied kind of fostered application with how that applies to where you are. And then we're slowly throughout the program introducing tools and platforms that we've either curated, created, or bought that create the operating system. There's another book on there that's called Short Track CEO that my partner wrote in 2010, a group of our partners wrote in 2010. And that's where you can see kind of the makeup of our operating system and how we view building value as quickly as possible in a mid-market company. And then you're in the next level community, which is really community just means common unity, the things that we have in common that unite us. And so leaders share a lot of needs in common, and you can't really get all those needs met from within your company most of the time, because most of the people you're leading don't really know what it's like for you to carry that responsibility, to carry that burden. So we want to put you in a community with other leaders who care about results and relationship, and y'all can be a supportive group to one another, meeting those legitimate needs in legitimate ways. So even after you've gone through the program, you stay a part of that community, and it's really rich.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you could get yourselves a really thriving, healthy community that's doing great stuff, then it is really an invaluable resource, because you cannot do these things alone. And if you do, you are not likely to succeed. So some great stuff there, doing some great stuff down in Memphis. And what if people are not in the Memphis area? Can they still access, your training?
Yeah.
The books I can access anywhere, but the training, is it virtual?
Yes, it is. We've built a training room actually right behind me on the other side of that wall. And that is a completely hybrid environment. So we have members in Memphis, around the region, and then people joining from across the country online and participating in those groups together. So we stay pretty engaged either virtually or in person. So location isn't as important as we're in English, and as long as you have internet access, we're good to go.
Good to go. Sounds good. Thanks very much, Shad Berry.
That's thank you.
If you want to get in touch with Shad, his contact details and URLs and that in the show notes, and also with the YouTube description. Thanks, Shad. All right, let's pop over to Regina. Hi, Regina.
Hi, Julian.
So you're.
This has been fun.
But thanks for playing. And now we're going to learn about you. And you're also a leadership trainer. What's transformational leadership, Regina?
Yes. So first of all, I wanted to say congrats to the trivia, to the Jeopardy winners. I'm more into the more unconventional independent movies and all of that. So I'd have to come up with my own categories, I think. But anyway, that was fun. So transformational leadership coaching, well, it has several different parts, right? There's transformational leadership on the one hand, and the transformational coaching, and then there's the leadership coaching. So it's a bit of a complex term, of course. I believe that I actually just dropped a LinkedIn newsletter article earlier today where I talk about the transformational leadership coaching and its benefits. So what it means in a nutshell is that, yes, we do, of course, work on specific situations, challenges, and so on. But the ultimate goal is that the coaching client walks away with a transformation that helps him or her rinse and repeat to apply the same transformation they experience as part of the coaching program to future situations and to the rest of their careers and lives. So there is an article about that on my Career Growth Strategies newsletter on LinkedIn as of today, if somebody would like to look into that as well. And in my business, Transform Your Performance, I drive bold, value-driven, and heart-centered leadership preferentially. And I help my clients, who most of who are in leadership roles, not all, but most of them are. And of course, we are all in the role of self-leadership in the first place, right? And it's been mentioned before as well, self-awareness is a big part of that. And I help them reach their next career goal and also become thriving leaders by upgrading their leadership of self and others. My approach is very holistic. That's probably also because I have a very eclectic background on 5 continents. You can hear my German accent probably. It's never gone completely away, which is not an issue, which identifies me as German immediately, so that helps. But I have spent quite a lot of time also in Latin America, 9 years total in Brazil and Argentina. I've traveled extensively in the last few years on the African continent. I lived in Spain 7 years, did a lot of work in Portugal, traveling there once a week for years as I was working still at the Boston Consulting Group in a leadership role, and so on and so forth. Right now I'm in France, although my business is based in New York City, and I've also spent a good number of years both on the West Coast and the East Coast of the United States. I think this has given me a very unique and eclectic background that also shines through my coaching approach, which is very holistic, because I believe that life is a holistic phenomenon. So even if we want to artificially divide our lives into work, life, and other areas, relationships, whatever it is for everybody, then that is not really what, you know, how it is in reality. So we want to see it as a whole, and that's how I approach my coaching.
So you've developed your own framework called Powerful Leadership Transformation, PLT. Do you want to tell us the principles of that?
Yes, I have developed several different frameworks. One of them is Powerful Leadership Transformation. A big part of this is self-leadership. And of course, I always like to say all leadership starts with self. And it's really, in my opinion, one of the most essential leadership traits, self-leadership or leadership skills. The Powerful Leadership Transformation has 4 pillars. The first one is a self-empowering mindset and heart set. The second is distinctive uniqueness. Third is a body and energy conscious presence. And the fourth is effective, inspired and effective action. And the fourth pillar really being more consequence of the other 3, right? So one of the things that not a lot of people talk about in business is energy. That is also included in this pillar, body and energy conscious presence, because I believe that it's really, really important that we talk more about energy. Yes, emotional intelligence is very, very important. It's been mentioned before, and it has to do with our self-awareness and self-leadership, as well as managing the emotions of our teams and other people we interact with in business. But I also believe that energy is an important topic, because it really, really plays into everything we think, we do, and we say. And we don't talk about it often enough. Now, I also like to sometimes challenge a few concepts. We talk a lot about empathy these days. It's become a little bit of a buzzword. I believe that actually compassion is the more appropriate term in business and what we need most of compared to empathy, because empathy, in my opinion, is more like a skill, and we can use it either for good or for other intentions that might not be really good intentions as well, right? So what we really need in leaders, in my opinion, is compassion. But of course, that's another separate conversation. And then I've also created, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what have you got coming up in terms of training, and how do you sort of address and administer your content to people? Do you have any workshops coming up?
Yeah, so I have been doing a few masterclasses that are specifically focused more on the career aspect of my work, which have been around salary negotiations, for which I also have an online course, and promotions, building that positive visibility, really knowing, owning, and showing your unique brilliance and stepping into your genius zone, also finding the courage to do that. So that is something I talk a lot about. I also have a conference talk coming up in New York City in April. I am, as always, doing my one-on-one coaching programs, and one of them is called the Leadership Elevator, and the career, the Career and Leadership Elevator, and then I have my other frameworks, which flow organically into my coaching and training programs as well. My training programs are more on demand usually, but I have been working on a concept that I want to launch rather sooner than later, which will be a combination of group coaching and training. And it is based on what I call the Thriving Leader Formula. And then, of course, I'm also going to bring in concepts of my new paradigm leadership framework as well.
Wonderful. So I've put all of Regina's info in the show notes as well. If you want to get in touch with her and if you want to learn more about the training that Regina's doing, and it's mostly online, or do you do physical stuff around New York?
I do both. So the physical is more like speaking engagements, also trainings that are, you know, that companies want to do with me, and they hire me for that specifically. I have done in person as well on the African continent quite a bit. I have a workshop coming up, which is an online virtual leadership summit. It's a collaboration project with somebody who does a lot of events in Zimbabwe and other African countries as well. So that's coming at the end of March. And I'm also working with an agency for who I do quite a lot of online trainings, both in English, some in Spanish as well, and in German. And I can work with clients in Spanish, Portuguese, English, and German.
Wonderful. So if you want to get in touch with Regina, follow her up with those links. And thank you very much for coming on, Regina.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Now I'm going to jump over to Chris. Chris, tell us a little bit about your adventures in tech and marketing and what you're currently doing now.
Sure. Well, I want to thank you again for having me. Hadn't ever had a Jeopardy-like, interactive, fun experience like that with some awesome fellow professionals. So thank you for the time. So the short summary is I'm a digital marketer by trade, that my career has evolved to a point where I now have a demand generation agency with a strong team of full-time employees as well as expert contractors. We generally focus on the funnel first, no matter the vertical, which is to say we pridefully can strategize, market, track, retain, upsell any product that, or puzzle, I like to say, that comes our way. But we do have extensive experience in B2B SaaS. So that has been predominantly one of our specialties. To go one layer deeper, we focus on many of the traditional channels. So from a paid advertising standpoint, paid search, paid social, paid display ads, as well as video ads. We also focus on the email marketing component, be it prospecting, cold outreach email, or nurturing retention and upsell type emails. We are an official HubSpot certified partner. Though we are not exclusive to HubSpot, we are big fans of the HubSpot ecosystem, and the expertise on the team is pretty strong. We also do organic search SEO, be it the optimizations of your current site, the keyword research involved, to choose the best bang for your buck, if you will, high rank ability terms. And finally, the back end, behind the scenes analytics, tracking, reporting, even the accuracy of your pixels and your goal setup. We have varying talent and experts that do some or all of these things. So that's what we represent on the market today.
And what type of clients do you mostly work with? Do you specialize in any particular niche?
Well, it's an interesting question, because the short answer is we have a lot of experience in a lot of verticals. If you go to our website, iexcel.co, iexcel.co, you'll see a what we've done section, and the what we've done section actually showcases several different reputable companies and testimonials across different verticals. Now, that said, we have a passion for and experience in a handful of verticals. I mentioned B2B SaaS, which, to be fair, isn't an industry so much as it is a sort of an experience within industries. But we do have experience in food and bev, the NFT space, ed tech. So though wide, we do have some specialties.
What's the main problem that people come to you for, that you hear all the time? What do they need help with most?
Well, it's either one of two problems. I'll oversummarize. One of them is we have just reached product market fit, but our marketing is nascent and we need help building this stuff out and presenting an initial strategy in the first place. So I would argue that is someone who is, let's say, seed round, looking to raise Series A, versus someone who is one level further in their maturity, but they still need help. And that is generally, we have infrastructure already built. We have already tried several iterations of experiments or ideas, and they simply haven't worked. Please take a look at what we're doing. So an audit, let us know goods and bads, make recommendations, and then perhaps further manage based on your new recommendations. So to that side of the field, for lack of a better term, that is people who are semi-established but still haven't figured out their marketing.
I.e., we're spending a lot on marketing and it's not working. Chris, fix it.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Wonderful. And what happens if people want to get into your world and get you to have a look at what they're doing and perhaps help them out with all of these things? Do you have a call that you do with them?
We do. So if someone had genuine interest in working with our team and the services that we offer, we do have a standard contact us form, like many companies and websites. That process definitely entails learning a little bit more about your company, your product, your history, your vertical, the marketing efforts you've tried prior versus things you haven't tried, to just get a lay of the land. We then often create some sort of custom reaction to that, sometimes a formal proposal, sometimes just some ideas. And if it evolves from there, we welcome the challenge. That's generally how we operate.
Wonderful. So if you are out there and you want to get a handle on your marketing, and it sounds good because Chris has got just about everything, including cold email outreach, which is quite attractive for certain verticals, sales reps and things, as well as all of the paid ads and as well as organic content creation, which is one of the things you should be doing. Chris, in terms of the content, what do you do for them? Do you actually like write blog posts and create content, or do you help the clients create their own content and then get it distributed?
So it's more of the latter. What we do is we present, if your goal is SEO content creation, we present a mathematically driven content strategy recommendation in the form of keyword research with the proper amount of low difficulty meets high enough volume. So we try to present article ideas that simply, if you were to write it, the likelihood for this to rank shortly is high. That's generally how we approach ideas for content. As it relates to distribution, once the client creates the content, and there are times when we've helped create the content, but we are more a performance shop. Once the client creates the content, we do focus on distributing the content through free and paid ways. Free meaning things like email outreach to even indicate that this piece of content exists, and paid ways in terms of targeted paid ads to distribute the content.
Wonderful. If you want to get in touch with Chris, I'll put all his details in the show notes as well. We're out of time. I'm going to have to wrap things up. Thanks to our wonderful guests for playing and bringing value to the show. I'm going to wrap things up. See you next time.